Hey, man, I heard y'all kicking on the opening. We need them up in the front. Sort of give me a little lift. Hey, man. All right, so I'll put them all in the back with devotion and bring them on up. Hey, man. All right, all right. Hey, man, I need them up here. All right, y'all kicking in there. I thought we had already started. Hey, man. Again, we are thankful to God for the presence of each of you, and we thank God for our minister of music and our drummer, Brother Raymond, and to all of our deacons and members and officers and members of the Mount Island Church, as well as our visitors. I always say that God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Now, since we have been having a whole lot of stuff going on this month, a lot of people going through some things, I thought I'd try to encourage us, amen, this morning from God's Word, as you want you to look with me to Psalm number 23, the 23rd number of the Psalms. And we hope to try to encourage all of us, because when one of us are up, another one is down. And when we are down, somebody else is up. And so I think it's in the Hebrew writer that says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as some do, but we are to come together to exalt and encourage one another. So much so as we see, amen, that day approaching. And that day is the day of the Lord when he will return. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now for this privilege and for this opportunity. We ask now that you grant us a fresh and powerful anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. 23rd number of Psalms, with the emphasis on verse number 4, I'm just going to read it all. Amen. It says, and most of you all can probably recite it from memory, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And for a few moments, we want to talk from the subject, the promise of his presence, the promise of God's presence. Let me begin by saying that the one thing that gives every Christian courage as well as confidence in troubled times is to know that the Lord is right there with us. Because I thank God for his word. In his word, he promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And my brothers and sisters, come what may, I know and I believe and I know that we can stand on the promises of God. The Bible says, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. To put another way, Paul said, all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. Why is this? Because Jesus is the embodiment of God's faithfulness. And that's why the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 9, that God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, one of the main reasons, or the main reason that God is faithful and that we can stand on his promises is because of the fact that we read again in Titus 1 and 2, where Paul makes it clear from the start that not only will God not lie, but God cannot lie, because God is truth. He is the source of truth, and he cannot lie. For Titus 1, 2 say, this truth gives us confidence that we have eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised us before the foundation of the world. And so this morning, with your prayers, I won't talk just for a few moments, won't be long, from that subject, the promise of his presence. Because if you're a Bible reader, you'll realize that throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we have the promise of God's presence in good times as well as bad times. For instance, when God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations and to announce both salvation and judgment, right away Jeremiah revealed to God his fears of being inadequate because of his youth. But God told Jeremiah, according to Jeremiah 1 and 8, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. Why? He said, because I am with you. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciples, who were precursor of the church, in Matthew 28:19-20, to go into all the world and make disciples, in verse 20, he assured them by telling them, I am with you. And then he put a little added on there, a little added assurance on there. He let them know that I'm not just with you for a little while, but I am with you even to the end of the age. Then in the book of Acts, in the city of Corinth, where Paul was criticized and his gospel message rejected, the Bible says in Acts 18 and 9 and 10 that the Lord appeared to Paul in a night vision and said to him, don't be afraid, keep on preaching, for I am with you. My brothers and sisters, God's promised presence is what enables us to persevere and hold on in the midst of trouble and trials. But now I need to tell us that we can't see the Lord with our natural eyes, because God is a spirit. And that's what the Bible says in both the Old as well as the New Testament, in Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17, that the just shall live by faith. But even more, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11 and 1, it helps us to understand what faith is in plain and simple terms. Faith is what makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. And then that's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. My brothers and sisters, perhaps somebody here this morning, or perhaps somebody listening by way of radio, maybe you're going through some type of crisis, and perhaps you feel that you're all alone, or that you're all by yourself, and you need to be assured of God's presence. Well, a friend of mine, you won't be able to see him with your natural eye, but I can guarantee you and assure you that through the eyes of faith, you can know that the Lord is right there with you. As a matter of fact, he's right there with every born-again believer in the person of the Holy Spirit, which dwells in all of us. No wonder the Bible say, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. But still, you know, many times family and friends and others don't seem to understand that in spite of the struggles that you're going through, you want to do better, but for some reason you don't have the strength to do so. But my brothers and sisters, God's promised presence says that my grace is sufficient for you. For my grace is made perfect in human weakness. In other words, God's presence, his love, power, and blessings is sufficient to help us endure any trial and tribulation that may come into our lives. But however, as we make our way to the text, my brothers and sisters, the reason we need to be constantly assured of God's presence is because in life we are either heading toward a storm, we are in a storm, or we are coming out of a storm. Because life is not always filled with mountaintop experiences. And therefore we need to know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is with us in the good times as well as the bad times. And so we note that David says in our text in Psalm 23 and 4, David goes to the extreme and says, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now here we see that David was assured of God's presence even in the face of death. Because death casts a frightening shadow on us, because we are entirely helpless in its presence, because strength and courage cannot overcome death. But let me say something to you. Death doesn't have the final word. Why? Because we have someone to walk with us through death's dark valley who will bring us safely to the other side, and that person is the God of life. And so as we consider our immediate text with a focus on verse 4, we note that Psalm 23 is known as the shepherd's psalm because it likens God to a good shepherd who guides and supports his flock through life and the many ups and downs that we may face. Therefore, this psalm reveals to us that the many ways that God shows his loving kindness to his children, even in the midst of the worst of circumstance. But now the big question that faces us this morning is, do you believe that God is with you no matter what you are facing in life? You got to believe that. You got to stand on the promise, boy, y'all sure cry, and believe that God is with you. But lest I hold you too long, let's see if we can glean a few nuggets from our text that will perhaps help us to hold on to God's unchanging hand regardless of the situation or circumstance. And so note, if you will, that Psalm 23 reveals to us that there is a progression in life, and that progression is seen in the text as a pre-valley experience in verse 1 through 3, the valley experience of verse 1, and the post-valley benefits and blessings of verse 5 and 6. But first of all, let's consider the pre-valley experiences of life in verse 1 through 3. We note that the psalmist begins this psalm by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in the green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Now here we have in these verses the many ways that God shows his loving kindness and protecting power to those who need him as he leads them. Because in the first three verses, God is pictured as a loving shepherd and a caring host, who at the beginning the sheep look to the shepherd for leadership, guidance, and protection. But my brothers and sisters, let me say to us, it's easy for us to cry out and talk about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, in our pre-valley experiences when life is paying dividends and everything is going our way. In other words, it's easy for us to praise God when we are in a mountaintop experience and the sun, so to speak, is shining in and on our lives. Because in the text, the green pastures pictures the comfort and blessings we experience as we go through life when all is well. The still waters is a picture of peace. peace and serenity when everything is going our way, and somehow we seem to be living above trouble and adversity. But my brothers and sisters, we need to know that we can't stay on the mountaintop all the time, nor can we rest on past mountaintop experiences, because remember the text revealed that there is a progression in this psalm as well as there's a progression in life, meaning we got to move on in life in order to have some new mountaintop experiences. But to do so, we don't just jump or leap from mountain to mountain, but we got to go down in the valley, meaning we got to move from pre-valley experiences to the valley experiences of verse 4. Now, note, if you will, that the valley experience in the text as well as in life is a whole lot different from the pre-valley experience of comfort and blessing, serenity and peace. Because, yes, Lord, in the valley there is danger. In the valley, death lurks. But note, if you will, that the psalmist still expresses confidence in God's promised presence in spite of the dangers and even death itself. And note, he said, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is this? Because even in the face of death itself, our author David was assured of God's promised presence, because he said, you are with me. Because I believe that David knew that a shadow doesn't have substance. It's only a reflection from a light. Because, but you can't have a shadow in the dark. There has to be some light in order for to cast a shadow. And I believe that's why David got personal and said in so many words, I'm not afraid because I know that you are with me. My brothers and sisters, when the storms of life are raging and you can't seem to see a way out. Perhaps if that's happened to anybody here this morning or somebody listening by way of radio, perhaps God is saying to you this morning, fear not, for I am with you. Because many times on life's journey, one minute it may seem that if everything is going our way, it seems, so to speak, that the sun is constantly shining in and on our lives. And we're looking, there is no sign of trouble on the horizon. But like a tornado without warning, all of a sudden life can turn sour on you, and your way can become dark and dreary. But the good news is, even in the midst of a storm, God promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And so the psalmist say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he say, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now the rod and the staff are symbols of divine protection as we move through the dark valleys of life. In other words, in this verse, the psalmist David actually affirms God's tender presence during some of the most painful events in his life. But let me say to us this morning that God isn't revealed here so much as one who changes bad times, but he's revealed as one who remained with his children throughout the bad times in order to give us strength and courage to hold on and trust in his mighty delivering power. And no wonder the psalmist declared in Psalm 46 and 1, he said, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But note, if you will, that there is still a continued progression in the text as we make our way to the final movement of the text, and that is the post-valley benefits and blessings of verse 5 and 6. Note, if you will, that because the psalmist understood the progression in life, he knew that the pre-valley experiences of verse 1 through 3 and the valley experiences of verse 4 was only getting him ready for post-valley benefits and blessings. Because notice Psalms declared that right after his valley experience, in verse 5 and 6, he said, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my my head with oil. My cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, David is saying, in essence, he said, Lord, while my enemies were celebrating and thinking that they had overwhelmed me and that I was down never to rise again, he said, Lord, you brought me through the dark valleys of the shadow of death. And right there before their eyes, you treat me as an honored guest because you prepared a feast for me right there in their presence. And then you filled my cup of blessings until they began to overflow. And that's why I know surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, I told you I wouldn't be long. That's why I try to move to the close. My brothers and sisters, in life we're constantly faced with ups and downs, troubles and trials. But through them all, we have the promise of God's presence and whatever may come our way. Because the God who changeth not, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, I am with you. And that's what the Bible says, when you pass through the waters and the waters of adversity, he said, I am with you. Through the rivers of circumstance, they will not overflow you because I am with you. And when you pass through the fiery trials of life, you shall not be burned, nor the flames will scorch you. And the reason being is, I am with you. When trouble rises and friends turn their backs on you, the Lord said, don't worry, because I am with you. Yes, when sickness come into your life and when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, don't worry, because I am with you. Ain't God all right? Is there anybody here who know the Lord? He is able. Is there anybody here that tried the Lord for yourself? If you have, you ought to say, he will make a way. You'll be a witness and say, he will make a way out of no way. Won't he pick you up when you fall down? Won't he save your soul to the utmost? Ain't God all right? I don't know about you this morning, but the Lord is my light and my salvation, and whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an host shall encamp against me, in this will I be confident, because all my help come from the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord who made the heaven and the earth and everything therein. I'm talking about Jesus, the bishop of my soul. I'm talking about Jesus, the author of my salvation. He's right there by my side. That's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm a holy lean lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? So come with me. I'm a hold on the God's unchanging hand. Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the Lord is right by my side. And God, all right, I know surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me every day of my life. And God, all right, hold on, fight on, pray on. After a while, it will all be over. Ain't God all right? Aren't you glad that he's in you? Aren't you glad that he walked with you? He talked with you. He'll tell you. Ah, that you are alone. I tell you, we got the promise of his presence. If you're on the mountaintop, praise God. But get ready for a valley experience. If you're in the valley, praise God, because he's right there with you. He's getting ready to bless you with post-valley benefits and blessings. And you'll be able to say, even though my enemies thought they had me down, even though they thought I'd never rise again, you treated me like an honored guest. You prepared a table right before their eyes. You anointed my head. My head with all that's why I know surely, surely, surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. He'll follow you too if you belong to the Lord. All the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There may be somebody this morning who'd like to get on the Lord's side. As we extend this invitation, I want to say to you that it's not just for you to be a member of this church. It's about this morning if you've never received Christ as Savior. It's about coming forth and receiving him as your Savior. And if you want to go to another church, it won't hurt our feelings, because it's not about just joining church. It's about being saved. If you're backslidden and you're not in anybody's church, but you came out of some church, you haven't been in your church, your home church, for a long time, but the Lord touched your heart, and you'd like to come and rededicate yourself to the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church. We'll get with that pastor and let them know that you're coming back to their church. You're coming back home. Or perhaps you're going through a crisis and you just need the church or somebody to pray with you.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Have you ever been in a situation and you were really going through? Your back was against the wall and you didn't know what to do. It seemed like everybody had their opinion about where God wanted you to be. So I cried out to the Lord, I need you to speak to me. Yeah. Yes, I gotta get away. listen. You're watching everybody else be blessed. Yeah. And they're running on with that vision. But it seems like you're in the same old place. Cause you're in the valley of decision. It seems like everybody is hearing from God. And they always have a word for you. But no, oh, that's not good enough. Because you want the Lord to speak to you. Hell, just find you gotta get away. False and what's real.